Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast episode 814 for the week of May 30th, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer. Hi. In 2 days, it's my wedding anniversary, and I don't know what I'm getting Andy. But the good part is, he doesn't know what he's getting me. And this is our yearly tradition. This is how we celebrate. We looked up what is the anniversary gift, and it was lace. And we were like, huh? What are we supposed to do with that? What do you do with that, Josh? What do you think?
I get some doilies. So, I mean, what else do you do with lace?
I was thinking sexy lingerie.
Now I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Thank you.
We've become PG-13.
Kelly Ryan also here. How are you celebrating my anniversary?
Attending my mother-in-law's burial today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think I'm calling it a funeral because it's not officially a funeral, but she's being put in the ground.
Okay.
Which is like the third of my three big stressors that have concluded this week. We got the apartment cleaned out. We got the car moved. And now we're doing the burial. And hopefully the rest will be smooth sailing.
I'm sure there will be no problems or bureaucracy to deal with for any of it.
I hope so. No, that there's still going to be plenty of bureaucracy, but none of it is as time sensitive as the stuff that we were dealing with this past month.
All right. So if we feel like we're rushing today, it's because Kelly's got to get on and go over to that. So
yeah, it's supposed to be Thursday, but it rained too much. Apparently,
it's like rain on your burial day.
I've attended funerals in the rain. What's the big deal?
So it seems like appropriate, right?
When I took the trash cart down and saw what a swamp my own yard was, it was like, yeah, something tells me this is not good for digging up graves.
Okay. It was super bad. All right. That's Kelly. That's Josh. Yep. Hi. What have you played? I'm going to go first. I played Project Gorgon. I'm a cow, but it's my time of the month, so I'm a wolf now. So, where cow? Yep. 3 days.
I think wolfing. Zoom has told you that it's your job now to make sure that they get more players.
We did an AI summary of the last RPG cast, and apparently I own the action item, because Zoom is all work focused, right? I own the action item of improving Project Gorgon's player count. I don't agree with this, but
that seems rather odd. It's putting a lot of bonus on you.
I don't want to be in charge of that. Like, I'm an actual job that I'm paid for that I'm already behind on things on. So I would rather focus on getting those things done and being a good employee and not on fixing a game that doesn't have the budget to hire anybody. So, okay.
Yeah.
Hi. That's where I'm at. No, I still haven't played anything else. Well, actually, that's not true. I did do a couple runs of Recoin, the coin pusher game.
Oh,
I do like that. Yeah.
Thanks to you, I got very sucked into Everything is Crab.
That's not technically me. I passed it along from someone else who was playing it, Cyrail. But yes, Everything in Crab seems to be like one of the big Survivor's likes alongside, you know, all the other Survivor likes that are all like coming out or having demos right now. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. So are you done with Project Gorgon?
Yeah, go for it. Yep. Go ahead.
So Everything is Crab. I feel like there are only two builds that really work. One of them is the high evasion, very small, very fast prey build. With a lot of charm in there so that you can charm other creatures to do all of the fighting for you. Or there's the make your creature as big as possible and put all of your points into physical and attack and just be a dominant, chonky predator. And it seems like there's really no in between. But thus far, I've only made it to like pressure level 5 out of 10 for as far as the difficulty levels go. And yeah, I feel like I try doing the chonky build numerous times and then end up just getting completely trashed by some of the predator creatures that after you beat the first boss just hit like trucks. So then I end up going for the tiny small bean type of creature that just runs around the map and eats stuff and tries to avoid all conflict. That being said, yeah, I feel like this game is in an alternate universe where Spore actually did well. I haven't been able to put it down.
Well, there you go.
Well, actually, I did end up putting it down at some point this week because my copy of Bubsy 3D was supposed to get here on
4D.
Last Friday. And it didn't get here at all. So I just said, screw it, and double dipped. Ended up buying it digitally, and I think my actual physical copy's in the mailbox right now. It got delivered during the pre-show. And guess what? In 2026, there's a good Bubsy game.
Yay! And I heard somebody modded in Trans Bubsy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's funny.
She looks
great. And the developer approves.
Nice.
I don't think they can legally add that as an official mod because I think somebody actually owns Trans Bubsy.
Oh, okay.
As a character, but just the fact that
it how can got you own in, a fan creation of someone else's character?
I don't know how that works. I just know that somebody actually created that character. Who knows? Maybe they bought the NFT of it or something. I don't know. But I am curious what the AGDQ runs of this game are going to be because it is very much built for speedrunning. Because Bubsy has this what's called hairball form where he just rolls up into a ball and goes really, really fast. And each level has like a goal time for getting a speedrun trophy. And it just whoever developed this game clearly played Mario 3D World because that's exactly how Bubsy controls. Just the kind of pouncy. Did any of you play Mario 3D World?
I did. Yeah, do I remember it?
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. Catsuit Mario kind of has a homing pounce attack and runs on all fours, and that's exactly how Bubsy controls.
Perfect. That seems fine.
Yeah. So, the game has been fun. The first thing I did was unlock the classic skin with the t-shirt. And what's nice is that you, when you're looking for the collectibles, if you finish the level, when you find them all, you could just back out of the level and not have to worry about having to finish the level once you get all the collectibles if you finished it at least once. Because each level has like 150 yarn balls to find and a blueprint to find that lets you unlock different abilities. Like one of the first abilities I unlocked was Coyote Time, which we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just makes the platforming a little bit easier. There's also a move called Zoomies where he goes from a crouching stance to running really fast, and he does the little feline butt wiggle.
No.
Yeah, he does the kitty butt wiggle. That they very much, whoever programmed this is very much a cat person. Oh, all the checkpoints in the level are litter boxes.
Perfect.
they definitely know the humor because he begs you not to turn on tank controls, and when you turn on tank controls, he's like, "Why would you ever do that?" Oh gosh, what else?
He's doing the butt wiggle.
Yes.
Amazing. I've got it on the stream right now.
Oh, they must have like another ability unlocked.
It's the vacuum butt attack, apparently.
I haven't unlocked that yet.
Spoilers.
But game is a lot of fun. It's only $20. I have a feeling it's not going to be very long. I think there's only like five, like 25 levels total. Five worlds with five levels each. And I think I'm only on like world two right now. Because I kind of just wanted to zone out and play my little critter in Everything is Crab. So, but I want to get this finished, get at least this game finished before Elliot comes, or Adventures of Elliot comes out. So, yeah, kind of short and sweet. Let's what I've been playing for me. I'm curious about Josh's game though, because that one is also $20, and I heard that it sold pretty well at launch.
Yeah, go figure. The Shovel Knight's people's new game has done well. Yeah, so I picked up Mina the Hollower, which came out, what, was it Thursday? Or was it Friday? I can't remember.
I think it was Friday,
and I think I downloaded it at like midnight Eastern, so it was like 11 o'clock here on Thursday. That's why I'm thinking it was Thursday. That is a... What is the way to describe this? It is like a
Bloodborne, but 2D.
Yeah, well, 2.5. You know, you have depth here. Mm-hmm. It's a Zelda-like game, also kind of like having a little bit of Castlevania, certainly Castlevania on the vibes of it, in the way it looks. It's kind of got like a almost like a Game Boy Color sort of thing with a limited palette. It also kind of like incorporates a lot of Dark Souls, sort of, which I believe the Shovel Knight, even though I didn't play it, it had some of that. You were mentioning mm-hmm. that, Kelly, before we started recording. The whole thing is you're going around, you're playing like a 2.5D Zelda like game. You are, as you defeat enemies, you are collecting bones. You collect enough bones to be able to buy level upgrades. And if you die, you lose your bones and you have to kind of like get back to like the enemy that killed you and defeat that enemy to get the bones that you had collected up to that point back. So it's got that Dark Souls kind of element. You kind of go back to wherever your last kind of like essentially bonfire was. So it's got that sort of mechanic going on. The main you're playing as this little mouse who is also like an inventor who has created these spark generators on this island, and things have, you know, terrible things have befallen the island, and so you're going to fix the spark generators and kind of figure out the mystery of what's actually going on. The main mechanic though is like you have this ability to like jump and then dive into the ground, and you're able to move much more quickly underground than you can above ground, but of course you're kind of limited on how long you can kind of be underground. So you're fighting kind of like normally above ground, and then you, instead of like having a dash or something like that, you have to kind of dive underground to avoid enemy attacks and kind of reposition yourself. A lot of the game is about like following along the enemy, you know, attack patterns, like trying to get their attention and then like, you know, get them positioned one way, and then you dive underground, get behind them and attack them. It also has kind of a very unique healing mechanic. So your life bar, you know, as you get hit, your life bar goes down. As you attack enemies, you refill, you basically kind of like refill the life bar. And the way you actually kind of like make that permanent, I guess I should say, is by taking like a little plasma thing that takes that the life that you are kind of rebuilding and makes it actually permanent. So you have this like balance in the mechanic. So you're trying the incentive. You only have a limited number of times that you can kind of refill your health. So you kind of want to let your health bar get all the way down, right? Before you actually use that, the mechanic to refill your life. But the actual animation for refilling your health, it takes like a second or two for it to kind of go. So you're vulnerable during that time. So you have to kind of balance between like, okay, I want to let my health get low, so I'm actually maximizing my use of this. But if I let myself get too low and the health, the actual mechanic takes like that split second that you're vulnerable, especially if you're in a boss battle, you can just get killed while you're trying to use the health revive. So you got like this interesting balance on that. It is very much one of those games like an old NES or Game Boy Color game where they let you figure out a lot of the stuff on your own. There is no hand holding in the game itself. It does have like a really lushly designed in-game instruction manual that looks like the kind of thing you would have gotten back in an old NES SNES game, where you can go and read about all the different mechanics and stuff. But a lot of it is just like wandering around, figuring out the things you can do, trying to kind of wrap your head around the mechanics. Like you know initially you're not able to, like, your jumps are only able to go like one square basically, and then you can do like a two jump square if you can use both your mechanic where you're able to hollow under the ground and then turn that into a jump. You can kind of do two square ones, but getting the hang of that is a little bit tricky. This is not the kind of game that I normally play, but I was curious to pick it up since the buzz around it was so good. And the thing that I found interesting about it and like might keep me playing it is that they have like a really extensive list of modifiers and assists in it.
You were telling me about this pre-stream, and that's got my interest.
Yeah, so they've got, I don't know what it must be, like 40 or 50 different modifiers for the game. So some of them will make the game easier. Some of them make the game harder. Like you can add things like high jump, or you can double the walk speed, or make for floatier jumps. You can turn it like anytime you fall off into a pit, normally you would take health damage. You can turn that off. And then it's got like presets, like if you just want the game to be just, hey, this is a little hard, I want it to be easier, you can just basically pick easy mode and it will flick off like 10 of these modifiers that will make the game easier. And on the flip side, like you can make the game much harder if you want to. Like you can make it to where you're taking three times damage from enemies, or you can get less healing items. You can have fewer of you can basically have it so that you have fewer of your underlabs, the places where you can actually your version of bonfires. They really provide a lot of different ways where you can not only just have like easy or hard, but you can really kind of like granularly customize how hard you want the game to be. I really dig that in games where they give you that kind of like granularity. It's not just like easy, normal, hard, where it's like, mm-hmm. Can I turn this on? Can I make it a little bit harder or a little bit easier to kind of like find what I enjoy? Yeah.
I forgot to mention that Bubsy has a mode where you don't take any damage, because whenever you like fall off a platform, you lose like a hit point. But turning that off basically makes it so that you get unlimited tries to do some of the more tricky platforming. So turning that on just kind of helps mitigate that, and it sounds like this is the same deal. That's where I suck the most in games like this, is the platforming.
Yes, and that was one of the first things I turned on, was like making it so that when I fell down a void, I don't lose health.
Yeah,
that makes it much more manageable for me, so at least I wasn't, when I would try and do one of those hard jumps, trying to get the feel of doing the tunneling and converting into a jump. There's definitely like a timing to that, and trying to get my head around that and being able to just being like, okay, when I'm doing this, I don't want to have to be, every third jump dying and having to go back to the last starting point.
Yeah, shoveled. I hope that Shovel Knight went back and retroactively added something like that, because I sucked at that game, and that one was more about the precision platforming than what this looks like. This looks like it's more combat focused.
Yeah. This is much more combat and, you know, like it definitely has some puzzle elements like an old Zelda game that would where you just and it's one of those games where like an old Zelda game where it's completely open. I mean, I think you're I'm trying to remember now if it's six or eight of the different generators. I think it's six generators you have to fix and thus, i.e. like six dungeons you're having to go and do. But you can do it in basically any order you want to. Like it once you get through kind of the prologue area, it's just like it just dumps you on this island. It's like, go do stuff. There's like a couple of different places maybe you can't get to where you need some of the like side items that you don't get till later in the game. That's kind of how they gatekeeped a couple areas. But for the most part, you can just go and do anything in any order you want.
I was going to ask if it had like item upgrades and stuff like an old Zelda.
It has additional. Oh, what do they call them? It basically has like almost like an old Zelda or Castlevania game where you have like one, you have your main weapon and you can choose, but at the very start of the game between three different weapons, you have one with a mace on a chain. You've got one with that's a pair of like quick daggers. And then you have like a giant hammer that you can choose. Hammer does more damage, but it's slower. You know, you got the daggers, which are quick, and you got the mace, which gives you a little bit of distance. It's not as fast as the daggers, but it's, you know, like does more damage and you get a little, you don't have to get quite as close into the enemies. But on top of that, then you also have like additional kind of item weapons that you can equip. And those are limited by a certain amount. You only have a certain amount of like power to power those. And so you can only hold one of those at a time. And so whenever you pick one of those up, you have to give up your other one, but you'll have ones where like you can throw an axe a distance. And like that sometimes is like part of the puzzle. Like there was one very early on where there's like a chest and it's like blocking you can't get over to get to the chest. It's like blocking an opening. So what you can do is like throw an axe over onto the other side of the chest that actually destroys the chest. And then you're actually able to like dig your way through and get into the room. So there's a lot of like kind of like natural puzzles like that. And you use those little side items to kind of solve some of those. Okay. But you can also use those as just like additional additional weapons for fighting enemies in the game.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you an excuse to probably go back into some of the levels as you get stuff.
And I mean, later on in the game, you get like stuff like I know later in the game, I've seen from some of the demos and stuff, like you can get like this bike where you can go like really fast and jump over really long crevices, and you can do certain like levels that there are certain areas that you can only do with that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, the game looks fun as hell. I might have to pick this up at some point this year.
Even if it's not Summon Night wasn't quite your thing, like it's certainly worth like sticking on the wish list. And once it goes on sale for 25-50% off, it's definitely worth giving a go. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. Well, you know, 2D, 2.5D Zeldas aren't usually my big thing, but I don't know. It is gorgeous. It is a lot of fun.
Is this a Zeldavania?
Yeah.
Zeldavania. We got to have not Metroidvania, Zeldavania. Okay.
I tell you what, one
Zelda
of my
2-vania,
only
actually yeah. because of the upgrade menu. Yeah.
Link's Awakening Vania. That's the go. Vibe that's... that it gives me.
Yeah.
Zelda Link's Awakening with the upgrade menu from 2-vania. Got it.
If it were on Game Boy Color.
If it were on Game Boy. No, that's Link's Awakening implies that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only real gripe I've got is that the button you have for actually doing your healing is also the same button you use to like interact with characters. And so I'm accidentally like when I'm in town and wanting to talk to someone, I'm accidentally doing the healing when I don't want to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a way. I need to dig through the menu and see if there's a way to change that, because that was kind of getting annoying. It's like, no, my health is only like that, you know, it's just off of full. I don't want to reheal while I'm trying to talk to this person. And I'm still kind of getting the hang of making sure that my weapon hitbox is, you know, it looks like I should be able to hit, but I'm like slightly offline and I'm missing. So I kind of get my head around the hitboxes on that. But it is a lot of fun, and it just has a very unique, huh? Oh, on Steam.
Okay.
So Steam Deck. It works really well on Steam Deck, as you would expect.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially given the price hike on the Steam Deck. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
It sold out instantly when they announced the price hike.
Man. Technology is depressing these days.
Steam Deck should not be going up in value. They're old. We should be getting a new Steam Deck for the same price, and that's not what's happening. What's going on?
Yeah. It basically means that, like, I don't even want to know what the Steam machine might be if it actually makes it out this year. Is it going to be like $1,500?
At least.
At this point, that's just a very fancy PC.
Well, sadly, these days, a PC would be, you want a halfway decent PC that's pushing.
Didn't you say that we bought a staff member a Japanese Steam Deck and those were more expensive?
Yes, they were already price hiked. Yeah.
Okay.
Sucks.
Oh, technology.
Boo, bad times.
At least I don't feel bad about my Switch 2 purchase now.
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, it's so weird to have things actually, like you said, Chris, going up in price instead of coming down. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was afraid of that when the Switch 2 came out. I was just like, go ahead and buy this, because I think if anything, it's just going to go up, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like that for a while, I think.
And I'm glad I bought my new PC when I did, too.
Mm-hmm. Now just keep your fingers crossed and it doesn't break.
Yeah, it's served me pretty well thus far. I haven't had too many issues with it, and it's run pretty much everything I've thrown at it, so I'm pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So are we ready for feedback?
Yeah,
I think we are. Yeah,
let's go.
Our question of the week last week, what was your first 3D platformer? From Shaman, I'm a normie as my first 3D platformer was Mario 64, although I did play the Japanese version in bursts at the local game-specific rental store before it launched in North America. And then from Strawberry Eggs, at first I thought it was Mario 64, but then I remembered before I got a Nintendo 64, I played a demo of Spyro the Dragon in a PS1 kiosk in Sears. I never finished Spyro, but I never finished Mario 64 either. Fun fact, the original Spyro the Dragon made me so motion sick that I couldn't play it.
that over the top camera kind of that it had.
That was Elijah Wood's voice, wasn't it?
No, that was later. The original Spyro was voiced by the Taco Bell dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fun trivia.
Yeah.
No, I think it was because Spyro was one of the first PlayStation game, or one of the first PlayStation games rather that I played that run at a stable 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
And my poor little brain couldn't handle that. So, but fun fact.
Tom, I felt when I was watching one of those Hobbit movies in 60 frames a second or 48 frames a second.
Yeah. Josh, do you remember your first 3D platformer?
It had to be Mario 64 that I played. I think I'm like Strawberry. Probably the first one I owned was probably Spyro, because I had a PlayStation. I probably played Mario 64 first.
Does Crash even count? Since that's more like 2.5D.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Or does Knights count? That's only top of mind because multiple people have sent me articles
Knights
saying
is
that
so UG, much later.
Multiple people have sent me articles saying that Yuji Naka is an asshole.
That's been the theme this week.
Yeah, like, yeah, I've known that for a while now, but good to know it's not just me. And then from Platyam, not a related to our question of the week, but related to our biggest news this week. Yay, Dragon Quest news. I find is comp- I find is completely irresponsible and near criminal. They had to restart Dragon Quest 12. They went back to have discussions on what mainline Dragon Quest really is. That's insane that 40 years later, they're still not sure. Hope people lost their job over that blunder.
Wow, Platy. Okay.
Hope to see more in 2028, but Dragon Quest Monsters news is amazing. And out in 6 to 9 months. Awesomely excited that it has the Dragon Quest V brides and seemingly ties to the original Dragon Quest monsters and the Kingdom of the Dead Tree. Oh, also loving the rumors that Dragon Quest XII might have ties to Dragon Quest IX. IX remake when?
Never.
I don't know.
I mean, IX was fine, but I don't think it's as great as everyone seems to remember it being.
It's the reason why we got Street Pass.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, part of me kind of misses Street Pass.
That's gone now. So what are you going to do with 9 without the little... 9 was made for a portable experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's... Obviously, Switch is portable, so it could work fine there.
You'd have to rethink how you did it. Yeah, how you brought this up to date. I'm sure it could be done. Some sort of online way of doing that, of unlocking that stuff.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, what a modern DQ9 look like?
Hmm.
Or is that our question of the week?
Yeah. So that could
do
be
Square Enix job for them.
Yeah, really.
Well, they're not going to do it, right? So.
But yeah, that's a very good question. I would be curious to see what a modern DQ9 would be. And
yeah. You should have that backtrack on it.
I think we already did.
Do another one. It's been a couple of years, right?
Yeah, we probably could do another feasible backtrack on some of the Dragon Quest.
RPG Backtrack Special Edition. How do we remake this?
But yeah, this transitions directly into our news.
That's just in.
So Dragon Quest's 40th anniversary was Thursday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had a Dragon Quest Direct, and we got some announcements. First announcement, new Dragon Quest Monsters, The Withered World. Bringing us to the Dragon Quest V world again, with the protagonist being the three brides, because that was a game that famously let you marry, well, the original one, I think, was just two brides, and then the DS version let you marry the third one.
Okay.
Bianca, Diana, and I can't remember the third
Deborah's name.
Deborah, thank you.
Deborah was awesome.
Yeah. Well, now we're just doing two again.
No, I think there was some stuff that Deborah's going to be in it as well.
Well, but they show off just the two, so... And they do not look of bride age to me. But what do I know?
That game had multiple generations too. Okay. So I think you kind of were kids at the beginning of the game and then grew up.
Yeah.
So my question then is, how early is this? Because they showed no footage. This is all concept art trailer for the monsters thing. So like we have and we'll get to 12 in a second, I guess, but 12 was restarted. This had no footage. Is this just like we need to put an announcement out there so people know we're delaying 12? And what can we do? Let's do monsters. We have nothing to show. Show it anyway.
Mm-hmm. We got some CG.
Okay.
Yeah. But like Matt said in the comment, the original Dragon Quest monsters on the Game Boy took place in a giant tree. That was kind of your hub world, and it looks like they're going back to that, which is kind of cool.
For 12?
No, for monsters.
For monsters. Monsters. So for Dragon Quest Monsters, they're going to the tree in 5? Wait.
No, in 9. The original Dragon Quest Monsters.
Oh my gosh. The original Dragon Quest Monsters. Okay. Which I definitely didn't play. Yeah.
It was kind of an isekai, believe it or not.
Pokemon?
A kid just kind of gets yeeted into the Dragon Quest world and is told to train monsters.
Hi. Welcome. Yeah. You're in... Okay, so this is... Yeah, all right, fair enough. All right, but I want to talk 12. Let's talk about 12.
Yeah. So 5 years ago, when we had the 35th anniversary, they announced 12 with kind of a fiery logo and said that this was going to be a more mature Dragon Quest. What was the original?
The Flames of Fate, yeah, is dark, dark.
So dark. And then we haven't heard anything this past 5 years until today where they're like, yeah, now it is called Beyond Dreams.
We threw that other stuff in the trash.
Mm-hmm. It always fascinates me when a game gets redone from the ground up, because I always want to see what the original game was going to be. Like, an example just off the top of my head is Resident Evil 1.5. If you all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, what's another one? The big conspiracy theories that this is Dragon Quest's Final Fantasy versus 13.
Ooh. Mm. An action game that they turned into something else.
Yeah. And crap, I had a meme for that, and I don't know what I did with it. the first time meme with James Franco is Final Fantasy versus 13. But yeah, and they showed the protagonist, and people have been making fun of his hair.
Yep.
Calling him Pineapple Coon.
The very, very, I found it to be a very non-binary look for the protag, which I thought was interesting direction for them to go. But also, I'm pretty sure you turn into a dragon anthro in this.
That has been the conspiracy theory, because the other character they've shown is this dragon character.
It's got the same sword, the same hair, slightly different armor, though, which that's the part I haven't reconciled. But like, finally, is Dragon Quest becoming Breath of Fire? Are you the dragon?
Good question. Don't know. The other conspiracy theory has been that the loss of Toriyama kind of completely changed the direction of the game, which I don't know how true that would be or not.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it still looks like his art.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, he would have had so many assistants that have trained how to draw his style at this point, right? So.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's just what I've heard through the grapevine. Any questions?
No, that was it. That was like my big thing is like we've got like a kind of more generic or non-binary character that might also be a dragon. Like, what's going on? That's interesting. It's sad that it's delayed, but also it's nice that we saw footage at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even if it looks like, hey, look, we modeled a castle in Unreal Engine. Like, that's something, you know.
Oh, and part of the reason why people think that the dragon is the same character is because this is called Beyond Dreams. Dragon Quest VI had a mechanic where you were going into a dream world and a waking world.
Right.
And people think that the dragon is the waking world or the dream world version.
That makes sense. As much sense as it can make, I guess.
Yeah. We don't know. It's just speculation at this point. I guess we'll find out later.
Obviously.
They haven't even announced a release date for this yet, much less anything other than the gameplay trailer.
We don't even have a year for it yet.
Yeah. I feel like they're further along in this one than they were the original announcement, at least.
Well, I would hope so after, 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last bit of Dragon Quest news, Echoes of an Elusive Age getting a Switch 2 version. That's supposed to be the definitive version of the game with new content coming out with the characters' backstories and such.
Well, I mean, it is the definitive. This is just a port of the definitive edition that's already out. So,
see, I was reading that there was a new... Or that there was going to be even more
No. The S version, which has been out for a while, is what added that. So.
Okay, gotcha. But your Switch 1 save will not transfer over.
No, of course not. There's nothing that they are doing to make this easy. or helpful for anybody who just wants the most highest resist beautiful version on PC, which is not what we're allowed to have. We get the Switch port on PC, the PS5 port, but I have a lot of complaints about how they've handled this particular game's ports, but like, I guess this is what we get.
Yeah.
It's Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good game still. Play 11.
Yeah, I personally, I might pick up this version to play it again, but we shall see. But yeah, that was all the Dragon Quest news. Demon School is getting an update that adds a new game plus. I think a bunch of us played Demon School and liked it. At least Ryan Costa did. That's kind of the indie Persona clone. The new game plus lets people carry over their abilities, Opals, credits, relationships, clubhouse styles, and clubhouse upgrades. And I think the game is on sale right now.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on that. But yeah. What else have we got? Brigadine Abyss PC demo has released. This is the follow-up to the 2020 revival Legends of Runeterra. And yeah, you can play the demo of that now.
The progress carries over.
Yeah.
Like the demo should.
The opening two chapters from two of its six story campaigns. So that's quite a chunk.
Yeah.
Unless the chapters are just criminally short.
Well, at least it should be enough to kind of get a sense of the battle system.
Yeah. Chrono Sword Steam sales discontinued. I guess this is a Souls-like action RPG that's no longer available to be purchased on Steam.
Well, it was only ever in early access.
Okay.
But still, there must be some weird rights issue that it's getting completely pulled.
Is the game canceled?
Wasn't this originally like a VR thing? No, I guess not. Early access since December 2024. Let's take a look at that. Oh, pixely. Oh, it looks neat, but it's done, I guess. Oh, well. Sometimes early access doesn't pan out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Kickstarter too, right? So.
Demio, the VR tabletop game is getting
Hold on, I need to correct that. I was wrong. It wasn't Kickstarted. It was just early. Carry on. Demio.
Demio is getting a free update that adds Acquisitions Incorporated.
Oh, hey! That's the Penny Arcade setting. Yeah,
and the main character, Omen Dran, is voiced by Jerry Hawkins from Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
I guess this particular company is all about collecting loot. I only know them from the Idol game.
I've seen a couple of their shows. They're funny, and yes, that is the whole goal is greed.
Yeah. So if you've ever wanted to play as the Acquisitions Incorporated characters, you can do that in Demio. Is this out now or available?
Demio is out. This update is also out, yes.
Okay.
Two to 4 hours of content.
I still need to play Demio. I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
I have that.
Add it to the list. Quest. That's a VR one. Or yeah. Also VR one, I guess.
Let's see, what else have we got? Legend of Mana and Trials of Mana is available on GOG now. Legend is $24.99 and Trials is $39.99 with discounts of 60% and 70% respectively.
Now, this Trials is the 3D remake, not the original SNES version?
It looks like it. Legend of Mana was the PlayStation one that was kind of the weird town
different
builder.
One, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that one. I thought it was kind of fun.
It has good charm. I don't like it as a narrative. I don't like it as a mana game. I don't like it as much as Secret of Mana. But I know that a lot of people love the PlayStation game.
Supposedly, if you really have to follow a guide so that you don't miss out, on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Which is...
And I made the mistake of playing it, trying to play it on my PSP back in the day that was hacked, and it did not like the cutscenes at all. So yeah, you can pick up these now pretty easily. Sounds like fun. Yes, we got Tomo and Endless Blue.
We've got a Kickstarter campaign, Kelly. Undergoing
a Kickstarter campaign looking for $100,000 in funding, set to run until June 20th. If you pledge at least $24, you will get a copy of the game.
This looks like a Dragon Quest Builders-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lots of Minecrafty building. Looks pretty. And then there's like Pokemon fighting.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems like it should succeed. I guess it's already succeeded its 100,000 goal on Kickstarter, but as we all know, that is not enough to make a game. So I don't know what
that
really means.
So enough people have pre-ordered to do 100,000. Yeah.
Essentially. What is, let's see, what's the, you can still get the Elite Four. Yeah, they're not shying away from the Pokemon references at all. For $7,777, become the Elite and support Tomo at the highest level. You'll get a unique skin for a God-Cure Tomo, that's the name of their Pokemon, in the game, and meet them early on in the game, whereas other players will only get a chance to catch them in extremely rare events. You also get a chance to co-create a Kaiju Tomo, you know, like the Kaiju Whale Tomo from the announcement trailer. These will make it to the final game for everyone to enjoy. Hey, cool. So you get to make a big monster and a special monster skin, and that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But so they've met their goal, so they're gonna go forward. I assume they will have lots of stretch goals that they're gonna be pushing on now because the campaign has 20 more days to go.
Yay! Here another Kickstarter project: Heroes of Anria. Hey. Anria.
Oh.
A roguelike turn-based tactical RPG.
This Kickstarter hasn't started yet, so we don't even know what their goal is.
It looks like grid-based combat, but also with an ATB system.
They do have the trailer.
Set
pixel art. Okay. 2.5D-ish, sort of. I don't know what's going on. Then battles that look kind of like Valkyrie Profile, but without the grid. But then other battles that do have a grid that's... nothing like Velk. I don't know what's going on in this game. And there's a chicken with man boobs. So. Okay. Check it out. See if you want to back it when it goes live. Otherwise, you don't have to. Roguelite tactical RPG in 2.5D pixel art. That's a tag. All right.
Oh, we got
another one. Oh, my gosh. The season of Kickstarters. This one only wants $17,500. So this is a ridiculously small Kickstarter. They're already at $6,000 out of that. They got 25 days to go. What's it about?
Lou and the Liar of Two Worlds.
Spell that for people, though.
L-L-E-W-L.
Uh-huh.
Newell.
That's a lot of L's.
I mean, double L is just llama. Whoa. It's just a regular L sound. So
the most you can pledge right now is $875. Everything in their other tiers, plus work with us to create a side quest, design with the two NPCs. Blah 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 blah.
I was about to ask how much to get my cat in the game.
I mean, well, at least that. It might be an easier way to get NPC in there if you don't want the side quest. But like, okay. Okay, what is it? okay. We're going Secret of Mana art style JRPG SNES era.
Yeah.
Sword. Oh, wait, no. But then it's tactical for combat.
Huh.
So Secret of Mana art with tactical combat. And okay.
Interesting.
And you have a swishy cape. It looks like humans versus monsters, dragonkin of some sort. So,
I like the art style.
Yeah, it's a good art style.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a also Chrono Trigger style art, I guess, in a way too. So,
So how do we feel about The Witcher?
You need to toss a coin to The Witcher.
I'm guilty of never having actually gotten very far in The Witcher.
I've finished The Witcher 1. I've started The Witcher 2 twice. I got further the second time, but I never finished it, and I would really like to. And that's where I'm at.
The universe does not want me to play any Witcher game because every time I've tried, the game crashed on me, both on PC and PS5.
Mm.
So I haven't really tried. I don't know. Is this a problem?
I don't know. Like, definitely stay away from Cyberpunk then.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's getting a new expansion.
On what?
For PS5 and Xbox.
Shouldn't it be getting
PC.
A new game? What do you mean a new expansion?
The Wild Hunt songs.
No, Wild Hunt is the game.
Oh, the
Songs of
oh,
the
songs
Past
of the
is
past.
The expansion.
Right.
Is this free or money?
Does it say?
Because a lot of times they'll do these updates that are free, so that's why I'm asking.
I can't tell, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not in our story. I don't know if we know. Co-developed by CD Projekt Red and Fool's Theory, who made the Thaumaturge and the upcoming remake of the first Witcher game, which I forgot wasn't even a thing. So I'm going to guess that this will lay some groundwork for story leading up to the new game, right? Mm-hmm. And that I'm bet you because that it'll be free because it's basically marketing.
Had they announced a new game
yes,
already?
Witcher 4. Okay. It's starring Ciri. Yeah. The girl is the star this time, and they've shown it off. Okay. It looked beautiful. It looked like a lot of Unreal Engine stuff, and yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, Hairfrog says for sure it's a bridge between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his wife is stocked. Wife has stock in Witcher. His wife is fully stocked on Witcher games, maybe. Yeah. Stock up on Witcher.
Get the Witcher now.
Quartet, New Game Plus. What? Tell me more, Kelly.
Yes. New Game Plus. What carries over? There's developer commentary that can be toggled on and off. I like that. Although that includes story spoilers.
Well, yeah, it's meant for you to play a second playthrough, right? So
yeah. Let's people carry over their choice of levels, items, and or skills, as well as a new nightmare difficulty option.
Hmm.
So.
What does New Game Plus do? That's what you just said. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do the whole game again, but it's easier now unless you turn the difficulty up. Alrighty.
Yeah. I had planned on starting this up at some point this year.
Oh, they added some of the... Okay, they fleshed out some of the areas on the world map that have new gear, so that makes sense, because you could tell that those places had originally been intended to have something there, and they didn't.
So, yay. Game just came out on Switch. Let's see. Ravenwatch's Songs of the Thieves update is available now, including 3 new enemy types, bandits, marksmen, and assassins. And you can now encounter thieves' stashes for challenges and rewards. Has anybody played Ravenwatch?
Mm-mm.
This game doesn't sound familiar.
I've heard about it. Haven't played it. It looks neat. You know, it's a solo or co-op action RPG thing. Kind of some Hades vibe. Free updates are good.
Mm-hmm. Infinite Alliance reveals more crossovers. So, the game is getting Lee from CrossCode and Alyssa and Chan from Cosmic Star Heroine. And then Attila from Seat of Nostalgia. All three upgrades will be available for free on PC and $1 on consoles. For the dollar benefits charity Doctors Without Borders, so at least you're contributing to a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
This is a turn-based crossover RPG featuring characters from various indie RPGs. I don't recognize anybody from the screenshots. So yeah, I don't know. Nobody seems to have played this either.
Yeah, I haven't played it. Sorry.
No.
But yeah, they've got a bunch of other RPG crossover stuff going on. So that's neat.
Okay.
Yeah, we need Dalandar. I believe he played it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just, yeah, we should try it out. I'm surprised Andy hasn't played this because I like the Namco crossover thing, but keep getting more. So CrossCode, yeah, and you can see other people in here from Kingdom of the Dump, and you've got Geomythica people and just pet people. Yeah, okay.
We've got a dwarven turn-based RPG called Runesmith announced. Stars a blacksmith who assembles a team of questionable adventurers to hunt down a powerful villain who's threatening the world, but also owes the blacksmith money.
And that's the blacksmith's main concern.
Yeah. Yeah, because dwarves, I guess, are greedy.
Yeah.
No word on when this is going to be released. It's just available to wishlist on Steam right now. We've got a 2.5D turn-based RPG named Full Circle that's been announced, with the demo set to be available during Gamescom this year. What is this game about?
It's got that very much PS1 look to it.
Yeah, a little 2D HD.
It does look quite good.
Set in a post-apocalyptic world where mutated beasts come from roam the planet. Looks neat. And development for PC and consoles, so we can look forward to that. Free survival horror RPG called Thermocline announced. For PC, set to come out for PC this winter on Steam and PlayStation and Xbox and Switch. You are the last survivor on a frigid planet with, and it's a character-driven psychological horror narrative.
And it does look creepy for a...
Yeah, it looks kind of like a very high-tech Game Boy Color game.
Yeah.
I'm getting Resident Evil Gaiden vibes, if anybody played that. No?
I haven't played that one, no.
I think that was one of the Game Boy or the Game Boy Color one that was set on a boat.
Hmm.
And had kind of a turn-based combat system, but where you had to shoot the zombie, and if you got the reticle within like a, what do you call it? Like a certain mark that you would get a critical on the zombie. So I wonder if combat's, well, I guess combat really isn't like that. It looks more turn-based.
Yeah.
But it was a neat concept for a Resident Evil game at the time, but I don't think anybody really played it. So, curious what this free experience is going to be like, or if it's like a prologue to a paid game. But I like its vibe.
It is a very creepy vibe.
Yeah. And then I think we're on to the new release. No, we're transitioning to the new releases, put it this way, because Edge of Memories demo is releasing in June as part of the latest Steam Next Fest. I guess this ties into the developer's previous title called Edge of Eternity.
Yeah, this was one of those Western studios making a JRPG.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it does have an anime aesthetic.
Yeah.
The demo has 2 hours of content ahead of the game's planned release later this year. And looks kind of cool. I think I have Edge of Eternity. I just haven't got to it yet.
I'm pretty sure I picked it up and played the first couple hours of it, and it was okay. And then moved on and forgot about it.
Yeah, it looks really neat. I just need more time to play, and I like how the protagonist looks. Or I can't tell if the protagonist is the girl or the guy.
Don't know. Who says it couldn't be both?
Yeah, I like how the guy looks. I mean, the girl looks fine too. But yeah. Okay, now new release dates. Existerra Remaster is launching on PC in July, and then console versions have
okay,
been announced.
Okay, I'm going to try that one again. Extetra. I think.
Yeah, it's the kissing game.
Oh, okay. Wait, the kissing game? That's a different name. That's the one.
Spin the bottle?
No. What is the kissing game? Shamplute? No, what's it called?
Tulip?
Tulip. There you go. That's the kissing game. Where do you get off calling this the kissing game?
It's where the main character kisses the girls and turns them into people who can fight.
Oh.
So he unlocks their powers.
Are you for real?
Yes, that's the conceit.
Is this a spiritual sequel to Conception?
May it came before.
Oh, Conception. Hey, and it's not just girls. Okay.
Oh, do you have to kiss boys, too?
It looks like got some boy kissing going on. All right. Turn them into heroes, and then they get magical girl outfits. Wait, show me the guys. Do the guys get... Oh, they don't get magical girl outfits, but they do get a big hammer. All right, fair enough.
That would have been funny.
I don't know. It doesn't show, Kelly. All I've got is the trailer. Oh, wait. I think we have lip action, Kelly.
Oh. I'm just curious because of all the dust we've kicked up, Vaughn and I can't tell if we've been legitimately sick or if it's just been because of the dust, but we've had to kiss each other on the forehead or cheek for like a week so that we don't spread germs.
But if you're both sick, then you both have it already.
Still.
Okay, fair enough. Do what you need to do. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, sorry, I got distracted there. Veritas, Witch of the Dark Castle was releasing in July, specifically on July 9th for PC via Steam. This is billed as following the spirit of the never-ending story and sees players playing as either a warrior or a mage who is challenging a witch in a dark castle near the plague-stricken capital of Elrishing.
Very interesting aesthetic where you are literally like flipping the pages of the book, like you're playing you're reading along with the story.
Yeah, and the developers for this, or one of the developers, worked on 13 Sentinels. 13 Sentinels, Dragon's Crown, and Odin's Sphere.
So a VanillaWare person.
Yeah. Oh, kind of interesting. The real question. Yeah. I love that the trailer flat out says absolutely no generative AI. But the real question is, will you have to scream Moonchild at the end? Anybody?
No, I don't.
You never watched the Neverending Story?
Did he name her Moonchild?
Yeah. That's what he screamed at the end of the movie.
What a dumb name.
It was his mother's name.
Moonchild?
Yeah.
Was his mother's name?
Yeah.
Can we just go back to when he was riding the dragon to buzz by his bullies? That's what I remember that movie ending. That's the end of that movie for me. No? All right.
I just always wanted to know what made a horse so depressed that it sank in the swamp.
He wasn't depressed. He was... saving him? I don't know.
Well, no, the sadness of the swamp got to him.
There was no grass.
I don't know, maybe his mom ended up at the glue factory. I don't know. I'd only ever seen the sequel to that movie a million times.
Wait, the sequel?
Yeah, you didn't know there was a sequel to The Neverending Story?
Well, first of all, the name implies you can't have a sequel because you haven't the first one has never ended, but there's a sequel. There's a sequel. How
there's
does
two
that...
sequels, actually.
No.
The Neverending Story 3 has a young Jack Black in it.
I've never heard of these sequels. Are they any good?
I find the second one pretty watchable. The third one is absolute garbage.
Second one lost money. George Miller. Wow. Okay.
I think the third one went straight to video.
Did they have the same actors in the second one, or was it just
no.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Jonathan Brandis as Bastion, Kenny Morrison as Treyu, and Alexandra Jones as the childlike. The only actor to return is Thomas Hill as Carl Conrad Coriander. Like, I know who that is. Okay, cool.
Was that the dad?
I don't know. I would have to rewatch the movies to know who Carl is. Oh, he's the bookseller. He's the bookseller. Okay, great. So, basically a cameo.
Grim Dawn's Fangs of Astrakarm expansion is releasing in July. I forgot what Grim... I guess Grim Dawn is a Diablo-like?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was still getting expansions. Oh, Werewolf. It's adding Werewolf? Is that the idea? Is that what we're getting?
It looks mm-hmm. like it.
Oh, and bird form. You get a Tengu or something. Okay. Yep.
I need to wishlist this.
And of course, you turn into a bird so that you can cast magic. Don't know how that makes sense, but that's what we're going with, apparently. All right, fine.
Okay, I look up Grim Dawn on Steam, and all I see is DLC.
There's a lot of DLC packs, yeah.
I don't see the base game. Hang on. Where's the base game? Okay, there it is. Oh, wow, it's on sale for $5 right now.
There you go. People, everyone who's played this tells me they love it. So, like, if you're looking for a Diablo-like that is... more single player focused, I think this is the one, or this is a great one, right? So
the definitive edition is $23. That's the one with all the DLC.
Perfect. That's what I should get. I'm not going to get it right now because I wouldn't play it right now, so I won't. Grim Dawn has pretty solid multiplayer too, says Cyril. It's like, yeah, I know. I meant like it doesn't have the seasonal thing going on like the other games do. Well, maybe it does, and I just don't know, but like, it really, I don't remember hearing about new seasonal updates for Grim Dawn. I always hear more like, yeah, Grim Dawn's a great single player one. Hey, Wajidai putting out a new game. What's up with this?
Nighthawks?
Yeah.
Vampiric text-based adventure RPG. Set to release in fall 2026.
So is this what people what's it called? The tabletop RPG setting with vampires.
Vampire the Masquerade?
Yeah, is this related to that at all, or is it kind of inspired by it? Or
I think it's more inspired by it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Though this looks more like just a text-based RPG versus the Masquerade games, which I think are considered immersive sims.
This was kickstarted in 2018? This was kickstarted in 2018.
Congrats, it finally came out.
8 years later. Hey, or no, yes, 8 years later. Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey, at least they got it.
Like, better than never. Most,
so, all right, fine.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Do we dare look at when the original timeline was? Had to be like 2020, right?
Good question.
I want to. Oh, Nighthawks Kickstarter. Still faster than Star Citizen. Yes, yes, yes.
Didn't Star Citizen hit like a milestone this
initial
of this nobody week? Giving a crap anymore or what? Like, what's the milestone?
I can't remember what it was now. I just thought I kept seeing it.
Oh, okay. Headlines. All right. This Kickstarter from 2016. The business side. We're looking at a development cycle of around 18 months, not including time already invested to get to this stage. They took a little longer than 18 months, but at least it was less than 18 years. So that is at least still good.
Take that development cycle and multiply by 6 and you get there.
Oh, man.
One Phoenix Down receives a trailer. Okay, I've got an issue with how they named this. They named it Phoenix Down with an F and E instead of a
Phoenix. I always want to say Phoenix Down when I see
it's like called like Fox.
Yeah,
like I realized that it was called Phoenix Down because of character limitations.
But I mean, there's a feather right under the word, so I'm going to think Phoenix, but... Wait a second. Sorry, hold on. Did I just see something? Hold on. There's I think I saw something there that interesting. Give me a second. Come on.
I don't mean to be pedantic. That just kind of bothers me.
The spelling?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. They have a character that I thought was RP Gamer, but no, it's R-A-G-M-E-R, so Ragmer. And that's not as interesting as RP Gamer being in this game. So, oh well. What is this? Like, what is the game? What do we got? Turn-based.
It is set for a September release and is inspired by Super Nintendo RPGs.
It is just straight up like side view Final Fantasy turn-based game, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Perfect.
I also don't want to be mean, but it looks like a Kemco game.
Hey, just because they spell it like a Kemco game doesn't mean it is a Kemco game. This is Regal Craft Games. Cyril thinks it's RPG Maker, so that would give it the reason for a more generic look. So,
like I said, not meaning to be mean.
I mean, those games are going to have a look, and it does have a detriment to it. But if the game's well written, it doesn't usually matter. So.
And this game's also going to be part of the next Steam Next Fest coming up.
Oh, so there'll be a demo, probably. So,
what else have we got? Anima Song from the Abyss is releasing next year. This is based off of the Anima Beyond Fantasy tabletop role-playing game.
Oh, yes, that tabletop game I'm so familiar with. I'm not familiar with it at all. So.
I see these games on sale all the time. I never know what to think. But I guess you can look forward to a new one next year, sometime in 2027. No official release date.
Release window.
So, there you go. Let's see what else we got. Inazuma 11 has its fifth major update launching in June. This is for the it will add new seasonal players and an official Victory Road online tournament. This is called the New Kickoff DLC, and it's going to release on June 11th. Is anybody excited?
Oh.
No. Oh,
not really?
Yeah. Sorry.
Because this is like fan service-y, and so it's not like a new RPG, really, right? So.
I've never really played an Inazuma 11 game, so.
So I guess that's not true. Victory Road a crossover one or not? It's a reboot. So I'm sorry. This is exactly where I would want to jump in at this point because it's a reboot. Get seasonal players for the online tournament, but that I'm not interested. No online tournament for me. I don't need that.
You ain't got time for that.
I ain't got time for that.
And then lastly, the Witch's Bakery is arriving in August. No date, just August 2026. And I guess this release announcement includes the announcement that Studio Ghibli composer Cecile Corbel worked on the main theme of the game.
This is extremely cozy looking, but I don't know what the combat is. I'm like, went to the Steam page and I still can't tell what exactly the gameplay part of it is.
Yeah. I do see a kitty cat in the trailer, though.
There is. It's got that going for it.
Yeah.
But it does have a demo. Maybe I just need to download and play the demo.
Don't really want to let my cat near that kind of bread, though, or any sort of bread.
Your cat ain't gonna be making biscuits?
No. My cats go crazy, or specifically Vivi goes crazy for bread. I think she tried to steal Vaughn's hamburger bun when she was a kitten. I don't know what it is with gluten and really smart cats. But yeah. So that is all of the new release dates and news.
Ooh.
Is anything new coming out, Chris?
Ooh, okay. Let's see what we got. We have the following new releases for you. Fate Keeper for PC coming to Early Access on June 2nd. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming to Switch and the Xbox. So I guess it's been long enough since it was on PlayStation that now the other platforms get it. Is that the idea?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think the other platforms are getting an update with the streamlined mode that basically lets you just cheese the whole game.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm kind of looking forward to beat some of those challenges that were too hard for me in the base game. But yeah. Was that it?
Nope. We then have the Gothic 1 remake for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Looking forward to... Well, I don't know if Hairfrog's going to play it, but like... Oh, he's already going for Gomez in the chat, so maybe he will. All right. Gothic 1 remake. Inazuma 11 we just talked about. This is a Japanese release, so not so useful here. It's a mobile Inazuma 11 game. And we've got River City Saga, Journey to the West. This is where the River City characters show up in a Sayuki Journey to the West sort of game. So that's going to be something. And then Hatchery Games. What is Hatchery? Hatchery Games... That's the studio. What's the game that they're releasing? What the heck happened? My links about... Voidling Bound is the game that they're releasing. Man, lost the title. Become a space wrangler and take direct control of creatures called Voidlings in this action-packed sci-fi third-person shooter RPG. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we got for editorials?
Amino the Hollow review from Ryan Radcliffe.
Well, game finally came out.
4.5 out of 5. Well, Scar, you just don't give fives. I am teasing him, Scar. By the way. I think Andy was concerned that I was being mean last week. And like, no.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
I think Andy's just very territorial about his Ryans.
Okay. Gotcha.
The only one allowed to make fun of them is him.
Gotcha. We do have a collection of Ryans now.
Gotcha. Said that the soundtrack is top-notch. The retro graphics pop off the screen. The puzzles are properly challenging without frustration and loads of customization options. Negative sandbox layout makes boss fights less challenging than expected, and the story is fine if a tad predictable. So those sound like very valid complaints.
Cool, cool.
It's the kind of story you would expect from a NES GBC sort of game. I mean, honestly, it's more has more depth than that, but yeah, you know, it's not super... It goes where you would expect it to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. So, yay. And then he also did a Soul Blazer retro review. I think this is from one of the Quintet games, if I recall. The same people that did Terranigma and Illusion of Gaia. He gave it a 3.0 out of 5, saying that Saving Souls feels rewarding and it has a unique soundtrack, but it can also be repetitive. The graphics are kind of meh, and Blazer looks like he stole Adel's outfit. Yeah, that was the one where you're going into various dungeons and saving townsfolk. I feel like it's sort of a proto Dark Cloud.
Hmm. I did not play this back in the day, so this is an interesting read.
Always look cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Then we have an Outward 2 preview.
Yeah, from Alex. What was Outward about? Was that a Souls-like?
That was kind of like a survival action RPG, Oblivion sort of thing, right? So open world survival RPG, yeah. So like, I know Oblivion isn't really survival, but this is, so.
Yeah. So you can read about that if you're curious about Outward.
Why do I keep saying Oblivion instead of Skyrim? I guess because the remake came out, so that's what's freshest on my mind. I don't know.
Elder Scrolls?
Yeah.
Is that series? We've got an interview with is this a former BioWare employee? Sylvia... I'm going to butcher this name. Fekete Kuti?
Feketa to
yes.
Oh my gosh, Feketa Kuti. Okay, they wrote for Mass Effect and Dragon Age. They are former BioWare, so
yeah.
Okay, so you can read that interview with Austin Langer and Sylvia Feketa.
Oh, So sorry.
Sylvia. Too.
Sylvia. Sylvia. Yes. Yeah, Sylvia.
Sylvia F.
Yeah, Sylvia F. There we go.
Because BioWare used to be kind of famous for their narratives. I don't think not so much anymore. Yeah, and then we've got an interview from Ryan Costa for the game Valorborn. The interview, where's the name? Norris, sorry. It's just the last names, Norris and Onuran.
Yeah, Norris and Onuran from Lapse Games. We don't have first names, so. Or last name. We don't have, we're missing some sort of names. Yeah. So, have you been following Valorborn at all? Either of you? Probably not, right?
No.
No.
It's an early access game on Steam. It's a sandbox game, and they answer a bunch of questions about it and like kind of the stuff that goes into developing and things like, what is your vision for loot? You know, what are you doing there? And what's your roadmap? And so like, if you are following Valorborn and are looking into it, you might want to check the interview out. Boom.
And that is
news.
And done an hour early.
Woo!
Yay. Vaughn and I can go get lunch.
Woo! You get to eat today.
Well, okay. So I did the hard stop at 2 because the burial is at 3 and I wanted enough time to be able to get ready, obviously.
Right.
But now we can get ready and eat.
And always nice, things, yeah.
Any other things we need to go take care of. Hopefully I'll be more cheerful in the future because all of this stress is starting to kind of relieve some.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, it is what it is. I appreciate all the support and kind comments that Vaughn and I have gotten this past month. It gets better when you're dealing with this stuff. You just kind of take it a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And know to walk away when you're feeling overwhelmed. That's been the hardest part. But I plan on playing more Bubsy this week.
There you go.
I'm definitely going to play more Mina.
And I'm going to play more Project Gorgon because I'm addicted.
You're doing your part to increase the number of people who are playing.
I got to play something else, don't I? Oh my god.
It's all
if you
on
get
you.
Two people to play it, then you can quit, Chris.
AI summary for last week's show thinks that I'm in charge of fixing Project Gorgon's player count. I don't know why that's the AI summary for last week's show, but that's a key takeaway. Apparently, I own the game now. I have to fix it. I don't like
it. Well, you know, maybe if they have an election like how EVE Online has for player community people, you can be the president. Since you seem to be the game's biggest advocate, but I don't know, maybe the game isn't large enough for that yet.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, I'm not. And second of all, I think it is large enough for that. And I've actually got people in mind who would fit that role better because they currently organize community events.
True.
Hairfrog, get sponsorship from the devs so we can stream it. All of us. I will stream it. Okay. Thanks.
I have got MMOs on the mind because our MMO month is coming featuring for RPG Backtrack featuring Mists of Pandaria and Endwalker.
Okay.
Both games is 14's best expansion from what I've heard, and WoW's at least for me third best expansion.
I think Shadowbringers is the best expansion for 14, so? But it's fine. Like, and Welker's great too, and it wraps that story up. So,
I call this the calm before the bad.
Yeah.
I also call before it actually was a meme. I called Miss an out of season April Fool's joke because Vaughn was famously reading me all of the stuff or texting me all of the stuff from that game, and I'm like. He got to the pet. Yeah.
You're wrong, because Legion was after Mists, and Legion was also good.
Yeah.
But that's the calm. That's the last hurrah. Okay, if this is the calm before the storm, Legion is the last hurrah then, maybe?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like Draenor was...
Oh, I forgot about that. Never mind.
The writing on the wall.
Oh, no. That
things weren't as good as they could have been. And then Legion was good. And then, yeah.
But I was okay with Draenor because I liked my garrison. But that's all I can really say for it.
Yeah. We'll get into it. I'm looking forward to that cast just because Miss was so fun. But yeah, when Vaughn got to the pet battle thing, I literally was like, is this an April Fool's joke? Before the out-of-season April Fool's joke became a meme with Blizzard.
Don't you have phones?
Right. Yeah, but at the same time, the pet battle thing was one of my favorite mini games in that, and it sounds like in Midnight they just don't care.
Oops. Man, I don't know anyone who's playing Midnight. And it's like,
nope.
I know that Dragonflight, people love that. And then the next one, I've forgotten the name of already, even though I played it and finished its story. And then Midnight, I know nothing because like I wasn't interested jumping in. And then I'm going to go be a cow some more. So let's wrap this up. Hey, everybody.
Go be a cow.
Yeah.
Can't you just be a cow?
Sure.
Sorry, that's an inside joke with me and Vaughn.
All right. After Midnight, you got to let it all hang out, says Lady Death. That's fair. Thank you. Everyone go listen to some Eric Clapton. No, wait, no, he's canceled. Listen to the go get milked. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Fess. All right, everyone go get milk or be milked. We'll see you next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, right here at rpgamer.com. Go ahead and provide your answer to the show thread of how should they remake DQ9? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get tons of answers for that.
Remake Dragon Quest 9.
That's I don't know. Maybe a sub-question could be, how did you think 12 was going to be before they changed it?
I don't want to answer that one, so I don't want to ask anyone else to answer that one.
I personally feel like every Dragon Quest for a while now has tried to change something major about it, and then the fans have a conniption fit and they walk it back. Like, they've tried to turn Dragon Quest into an action RPG for quite some time, since 9.
How about they add pet battles again? Monster battles. That seems more useful.
They're already doing that. That's called Monsters.
No, that's its own series, but like bring it back into Dragon Quest. Like stop making it a separate series. Like what are you doing? Like it was cool because it was in Dragon Quest.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Whatever. Make a good narrative. Lots of anime. Hopefully we'll like it. Okay. Hopefully. Everyone have sweet dreams of Dragon Quest coming in 3 to 5 years in the future. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.